wickedness is real. Oppression is real. But more real is our victory. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God has commissioned Dr. David Oyedebo, the presiding bishop of Winners Chapel International, to preach the word of faith, liberating men everywhere from all oppression of the devil. Get set for an empowerment that will enable you to rule in the midst of your enemies and subdue them under your feet.
Sin is an advance. It's like calling you to come and eat what can destroy your destiny. Like I said during the week, if it's given another opportunity at the sight of the serpent, she will disappear. It was an advance. And when you told not to eat this, he knows if you eat it, your eyes will open. That was a promo. Every sin, every temptation is a promo. Reject it. I see God releasing grace unto somebody in the name of Jesus. Like we said, that sin is a sinker of man's destiny. To toil with sin is to toil with your destiny. To play with sin is to play with your destiny. We will not sell our destiny out to the wicked one. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the devil is not the problem of man. Sin is the problem of man. The devil is not the problem of man. Sin. Because the devil understands that the only way he can separate you from God is to make you to commit sin. But from today, may the grace to stand against sin be released expressly in Jesus' name. And we've been considering understanding the costs and the cure of ungodliness. This is part three. Understanding the costs and the cure of ungodliness. Take note this morning that nothing of value is ever free. Godliness is at a cost. Godliness is at a cost. Nothing is ever free. Godliness is at a cost. And quickly, we are going to be considering the costs of ungodliness. The costs of ungodliness. Number one cost, or costs rather, is that it engenders failure and defeats. It engenders failure and defeats. When sin is the order of the day in your life, failure is inevitable. You can't fail less than you sin. You cannot fail less than you sin. So the higher your sin, the bigger, the larger your failure. To sustain yourself where God has placed you, you must maintain godliness. He has kept you far above principality and power, but sin can bring you down from there. He has placed you above principalities and power. It is sin that draws man down from there. A man like Samson was in that realm where his physical strength couldn't be phantom. One man killing thousands of people. Not using gun, not using bomb. Just the jaw of an ass. That was how powerful the man was. But when sin came, even children make a mockery of him. That shall not be your experience. It engenders failure and defeats. Godliness makes you failure proof. Godliness makes you failure proof. Failure comes, but it cannot succeed. It makes you failure proof. A step away from sin is a step into victory. A step away from sin is a step onto victory. You will remain victorious. In Joshua chapter 7, beginning from verse 1, there was a story there of the children of Israel. Verse 1 said, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accosting for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebedee, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accosting, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children. One man. That is why you must watch your fold. Because your fold can fold your destiny. One man. You don't relate with anyone, everyone. That man, Achan, was a reason why everyone was to be destroyed. In verse 11 of the same, Joshua chapter 7, verse 11, it said, Israel has sinned, and they have also trespassed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of their costing. and have also stolen this dissembled also. They stole, hear this, stealing transfers curses from the one you stole from to you. Every time you steal, you are buying something. No one here will buy a curse. He said, and I've also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Verse 20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, but it was late. Verse 25, and Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee. Sin troubles a man. Sin troubles your destiny. Sin troubles your business. You don't want your career to be troubled? Stay away from sin. Sin has temporal pleasure with a permanent stain, with a permanent destruction. Sin has temporal pleasure. It looks as if this guy is enjoying. It's a matter of time. He will soon drown. You will not drown. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Until sin is defeated, you can never experience the right breakthrough you desire. So you must defeat sin. Say, I hear, I will defeat sin. You fail because you fall. You fail because you fall. So you did not fall because you just failed. It was your failure to maintain dignity that made you to fall. But for you, exemption shall be your portion. The cheapest way to defeat man is to put enmity between him and God. That was what the serpent did. Brought enmity between God and Adam. That was how they lost their placement. You will not lose your placement. Stand with God. Number two, the cost of ungodliness is that it shares shame and reproach. It shares up shame and reproach. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, it says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So, sin is a reproach no matter your tribe, no matter your color. Sin is a reproach no matter your height, no matter your size. Sin is a reproach to any people, but righteousness exalts. May righteousness this season exalt you. In the name of Jesus, we said that sin sinks destiny. Sin comes with disgrace. Every time sin visits, it comes along with its baggage, and in it is disgrace. You will not be disgraced. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Like I said earlier, in Judges chapter 16:23 to 25, we saw how Samson was disgraced. Sin messed him up cheaply. The man, very strong, well respected, he was in Nazareth, but sin messed him up very cheaply. Sin will not snatch away your destiny. Until you hand over your spiritual man to Satan through sin, you remain untouchable. Several times he attempted a man, but he was untouchable. But he handed over his spiritual man to the devil. Don't bargain your destiny with Satan. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So, take note this morning that the devil is not an hero, as it were. It is our errors that make him look like one. The devil is not an hero. He's not a champion. It is our errors that makes him look like one. When you suffer and suffer and suffer, they say, devil is wicked. No, they make him look like a champion. No. If iniquity can be put away, your right will be given to you. If iniquity can be far from you, then your blessing will be close to you. I see God releasing somebody's blessing in the name of Jesus Christ. And number three, it tears fear and dread. It tears up fear. Ungodliness placed on you the handbag of fear. Life cannot be fair when you live in fear. Remember what Job said. He said, the things I greatly fear come upon me. Don't forget, that is a righteous man speaking. Life cannot be fair. Life cannot be fair when you live in fear. And one of the things that makes man live in fear is sin. Look at it. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 1, it said, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as lion. Sin, sin, sin. In Genesis chapter 3 verse 9. Genesis chapter 3 verse 9. It says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Verse 10. He said, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. You see the handbag of sin. It dropped upon him the spirit of fear, because I was naked and I hid myself. He's hiding because of sin. Sir, sin will not allow you to approach God boldly. You are praying in your heart. You know that this prayer cannot be answered because of your sin. That is why we must learn to place mercy before us. Place mercy before us. Like the Bible said, his mercies are new every morning. Don't assume. Go for his mercy every morning. Like you brush every morning. You don't say, because I spent 30 minutes brushing yesterday, there's no need to brush this morning. The same way, we must position ourselves for mercy. Lord, forgive me my sins. Today, people are so egoistic that to say, Lord, I am sorry, have mercy on me, they feel people will say, so you are committing sin. And the Bible says, if you say you have not committed a sin, there's no truth in you. May the Lord grant somebody understanding. Please don't risk your life in ungodliness. Don't risk your life in ungodliness. Praise the name of the Lord. But how do we deal with forces of ungodliness? How do we deal with the forces of ungodliness? Take note that when you ignore the cost of godliness, you will incur the pain or the losses of it. Number one way to deal with it is that we must strive to lay aside every weight and every sin that easily beset us. We must strive to lay it aside. Now, if it is not possible to lay it aside, God will not have put it here. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. That means it is possible for you to lay it aside. Whatever weight needs to be laid aside for you to go forward, may you receive grace this morning to lay it aside. And let us run with patience, because this weight has so much to do with your race. The weight has so much to do with your race. But you will finish well. Hear this? Weight brings waste. Weight. When you are carrying a weight, there will be waste of time. But thank God, he said, I will restore the years that the locust, the cankerworm, the caterpillar has eaten. I see God restoring something for you. Weight bring waste. You see some children, they say, he's not in school. Why? They said, he has not been able to talk. So the weight of not being able to talk has brought waste of time for you. Some fellows are afflicted. What others are doing, they can't do. Why? Because there's a weight. But when the weight is removed, no longer waste of time. Now, there are vehicles that carry load. They carry so much luggage. You cannot compare the speed of that vehicle to another one exactly the same. The same capacity in engine, and then that carries no luggage. One will go faster. So, that is why I said, weight brings waste. What more? Weight hinders height. You don't carry a bag of cement or two bags of cement on your head and say you want to climb. It's dangerous. Waste hinder height. So until you drop the baggage of sin, you can't climb high. To go high, to go far, you must drop the weight. And what more? Weight makes one arrive late. You will not arrive late in the name of Jesus Christ. So we must lay aside this weight that can stop us from arriving on time. You cannot carry weight and finish the race. May the Lord grant somebody grace in Jesus' name. In Romans chapter 13 verse 14, it says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, wear him like a cloth. Putting him on like a cloth, and make not provision for the flesh, just in case I fall. Some people have two people they are dating. In case this one disappoints me, so I will have a spare. He's programming himself to fail. He's programming himself to fall. That shall not be you. In the name of Jesus Christ, make not provision for the flesh. don't create room for the flesh. You know where you have a shortcoming. Please don't put yourself in a trap of the devil. Praise the name of the Lord. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Make no provision. To make provision for the flesh is to negotiate your placement with God. To make provision for the flesh is to negotiate your placement with God. Number two way to deal with ungodliness is that we must flee from all traps of evil. Flee. Flee. You don't stand. When it is time to flee, you flee. There are some sins that you don't bargain with. There are some things that you don't try your strength with. Flee. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18, flee fornication. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committed fornication sinneth against his own body. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Every man knows what is evil. We only give excuse to do evil. Every man knows what evil is. We only give excuse to do evil. Every man knows what evil is. We only give excuse to do evil. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. It says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. When you place money before you in everything, you are going to fall. In everything, you place money first. How much? How much? How much? Which while some converted after, they have heard from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Some people have run after money. The money, they didn't get it, and then they are carrying sorrow. Baggage of sorrow. Destruction. That shall not be you in the name of Jesus Christ. We must flee from the traps of the evil one. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, we take the orders in the second service. Praise God. Remember that today is our healing banquet service. And I believe God that in this service, God will be healing somebody miraculously. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Quickly, let's look at the biblical provision for healing and health. Biblical provision for healing and health. God has prepared for your healing and health beforehand. Praise the name of the Lord. Number one, provision is the word of God, which is the balm in Gilead. He sent his word. The word went ahead and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Psalm 107. He sent his word. It healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Today, may the word of God heal somebody in the name of Jesus Christ. Is there no balm in Gilead? Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Is there no balm in Gilead? The word of God is the balm in Gilead. It cures. The word of God cures. Some time ago, privileged to visit one of our members in the hospital. And then when I got there, the man had been there for days. And then I was privileged to have with me some messages on my phone. Particularly, it was a message of healing. It was a Sunday like this that Bishop Abiu preached. So I carried it and then transferred it to his phone. I said, don't listen to what they say. They said, I'm going to spend some few more days, if not the whole week here. Apart from the days I've spent, I said, no, that is not what the word of God says. I said, listen to this message. By the time you are done, you will hear your testimony. I got home just about 3 o'clock. After the service, I got home. About 3 o'clock, the guy called me. He said himself and his bedmate that sat together to listen to the message have been discharged. They were all told that they will stay there for the week. How? He sent his word. The word went ahead, healed them, and delivered them from destruction. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 2. The Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. Every time you hear the word of God, something enters you. So what the devil wants to do is to ensure that you don't hear. He places distraction here and there so that you will not hear and suffer long, but no more. As you hear the word of God this morning, healing is taking place. Now, it doesn't matter how long you have been afflicted. The Spirit entered. That spirit is entering you for your healing. In the name of Jesus. In Proverbs chapter 4, Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend unto my word, incline thy ears unto my sayings. Verse 21, it said, keep in the midst, let them not depart from thy eyes, keep them in the midst of their heart. He said, for they are life to those that fly in them and health to their flesh. So your health is in the word. Your strength is in the word. The more of the word of God you consume, the quicker you choke out the devil out of your life. Sickness can only stay when the word is not there. Don't forget, the word was with God and the word was God. So if the word is God, every time you eat of the word of God, you are eating of God. Where can sickness stay? When the word of God fills your heart. My son, give attention to my word. So we must make it a lifestyle. When you are challenged, before you tell anybody, go to the word. The reason why people question whether God is here or not is because they refuse to open the word. When you open the word, you will see God in the midst of the pages. When you open the word, you will find God in the midst of the pages. As you open from today, may you have access to the Rema. May you have access to the spirit behind the letter. In the name of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 5 verse 17, as he was teaching, the power of God was present to him. This morning, the power of God is healing somebody in the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, provision from God's word. Is that when the light of the word breaks forth, one's health spring up speedily. You want to speeden your health? You want to come out of that affliction speedily? Then let the light of God's word gain access to you. Isaiah chapter 58 verse 8, then shall the light spring forth as the morning, and thy head shall spring forth. So, springing forth of the word springs forth your health. It breaks forth your health. I see your health breaking forth miraculously. Now, they have known you with one sickness or the other. After today, you will not see the sickness anymore. God is a specialist when it comes to destroying sicknesses and diseases. His power is present to heal. By the anointing today, every sickness shall be crushed. Even some of those sicknesses that you are used to. No, it has been there since they gave back to me. So you want to take it? No. No. On this day, I decree that sickness will disappear suddenly. What's more? Number three, the price for your total health has been fully paid. When price is paid, you can make a claim. When price is paid, you can make a claim. When the price is not paid, you have to beg. But when the price is paid, you have the right to make a claim. When you pray for the price of anything, you can come boldly and say, no, it belongs to me. I want to collect it now. Therefore, as you pray today, every of your due shall be given to you. Your divine health shall be restored. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 20. For ye are bought with a price. Who paid for it? So you are bought with a price. He paid the price on the cross of Calvary. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, the body belongs to God. The price was paid. And I see somebody coming out of sickness in Jesus' name. No wonder in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24 says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose tribe ye we are healed. Ye we are healed. So an act that cannot be reversed has taken place. You were healed. Before you were born, you were healed. Before you were created, you were healed. So there's a provision for you. Take advantage of the provision. The price has been paid. Tell yourself, my price has been paid. Number four, we have been positioned by redemption above all principalities and powers that torment people. We have been placed above them. Your creator said he has placed you there. Please sit there. Like I said earlier, one of the things that bring us down from where we have been placed is sin. Every time you touch sin, you come down. Every time you touch sin, you come down. But from today, may you receive grace to stay there.
Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, he said, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places, where far above principalities and power, in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 20 to 21, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him as his own right hand in heavenly places. Verse 21, he said, for above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in the world to come, that sickness that have not been created, whatever that is to come, he has given you freedom over them. When you are above, you are above. The aeroplane cannot be disturbed about an accident of the car on the road. It's above. It's above. It cannot hold the I don't know what they call it, if it's brake, or it cannot hold its brake there because of its accident on the ground. It's placed above. It's placed above. You are far above. Therefore, the devil cannot stop you. I say you are far above. The devil cannot stop you. So what do I do with these provisions? Believe it. Blessed is she that believe. Luke chapter 1 verse 45. For there shall be a performance of what was told, that if you don't believe it, you cannot enjoy it. So good health is for those that believe it. Please believe it. Believe it. When they say, I cannot be, don't be one of those that condemn it. Believe it. Believe it. When you believe it, you become it. When you believe it, you become it. I see you becoming sickness free. Now, in case you have people that you share the same sickness with, very soon they are coming to you to ask, how did you make it? Because you will no longer have it. Believe it. What must you do to enjoy it? Confess it. What you believe, you must confess. If you can say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and not doubt in your heart, you shall have whatsoever you say. Mark 11 verse 23. If you can say, meaning it is possible for you to have it when you don't say it, to still suffer it. So if you can say to this sickness, if you can say to migraine, if you can say to HIV AIDS, it will move. It will move. And then number three, what must you do to enjoy it? You must act it. You must do what? Act it. When you say it, you must act it. James chapter 2 verse 18. Show me your faith without work. I will show you my faith with work. Faith is hard work. Faith is not cheap talk. Faith is hard work. It is not cheap talk. So when you say you believe that you are healed, start behaving it. Don't remain under the blanket. You are not behaving it like that. When you say you are healed, I know I have rights and place above sickness, then you must stand up and start walking. As you walk, you're out of it. Somebody some time ago was reading a book on healing, and this person was crippled for many years. And as she was reading, faith entered into her and quickened her mortal body. She never knew it. And then she was reading, and she was walking around the room reading. She was still reading. At a point, she looked back and saw that she has left a wheelchair. Faith moves us to action. Faith is not a dormant force. No, it moves us to action. So if you say you have it, then you must act it. You must behave it. Don't wait for sympathy party. Hey, you people, come and greet me. I'm not feeling fine. It doesn't glorify God. Even though it's good to visit someone that is down, but it doesn't glorify God to for sympathy party. And then you see the person, I was sick, you greet me. We'll see. What does that mean? We'll be sick. No, you must not call for sympathy party. Be acting your faith. It is your life. Don't play with it. Don't play with it. Act it. And when you act it, you will have it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Don't forget, Colossians chapter 1 verse 13. Who had delivered us from the power of darkness. So, it's a past tense. He has delivered. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. What is that kingdom? Sickness-free kingdom. Malaria free kingdom, corona free kingdom, Aenea free kingdom, high blood pressure free kingdom. Don't take migraine and say it's one of those things. I am stressed. No, you are not the only one that is stressed. What do you want to say about the person that sleeps on the streets, wake up on the streets? He's more stressed than you. You slept on a bed. Somebody slept on the floor. Don't give an excuse to satanic affliction. What is not good is not good. They call it disease because it's not giving you ease. Don't give explanation to it. I know it will go. One day it will go. This sickness, I know this sickness is not the one that will kill me. You are pampering it. It's time for you to react against it. Until you react, I say, God will not act. So it is time for you to react against sickness. And as you react, you will not see that sickness anymore. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Praise the name of the Lord. Take note this morning that one of the weapons God has given to us is a mystery that God has given to us to humiliate sickness is the anointing. The anointing is a mystery that God has given, He passed it unto us. It was His prescription. It was not man's orchestration. It was divine prescription for our liberty. Look at it in Exodus chapter 30, verse 25 to 31. Moses never knew anything about anointing. God prescribed it and God passed it on. And then He said they should give us in our own generation as well. So it is not an old thing. It's not an old mystery. It is relevant in our days. Let's look at Exodus chapter 30, beginning from verse 25. It said, "And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointments, an ointment compound after the act of the apothecary. He said, "It shall be the holy anointing oil, and thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony." Verse 29. He said, "And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever touched them shall be holy." So, by the anointing of God, you become a connection to God to make other things holy. That's what the anointing do. The anointing makes you holy. So, what makes you holy enables you to live a holy life is also in the oil, the anointing oil. Some people have tried several times, anoint yourself. Remember someone that gave her life to Christ many years ago. She was brought from the brothel. She had a room there. That's where she lived. That's the job she does. And one of her soul winning endeavors, she was brought in to the house of the Lord. And then one day she came for counseling. And was telling me, he said, "Sometimes, oh pastor, I won't lie to you, this thing is worrying me, because she doesn't stay a day without sex. It's not, that's her job." And I told her, I said, "Every time it worries you, get the anointing oil and drink it. As you drink it, it dies." She believed it. You know, someone that never had a foundation in God, whatever you tell them is easy. Some of us analyze it, and that's why it's not working. You analyze it. "I took it, but it didn't work." Before you took it, you refused it to work. She foolishly took it. When you start thinking about mystery, they call it mystery because it's mysterious. You can't explain, this thing, not just liquid. No, it is not liquid. It's the power of God. And then she took it. Before you knew it, she stopped the habit. No more prostitution. As at when I left the station, she had about 7 standing souls. She was able to send her own son to the university to God's glory. How? The mystery of the anointing. What you can't stop by power, anointing stops it. Holy. Holy. He said, "And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatsoever touches them shall be holy." That is you. In the name of Jesus. He said, "And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons," talking about priesthood. I remember that we are made kings and priests. He said, "And consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, everyone, saying, this shall be an holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generation." Throughout your generations. So it's from generation to generation. is a whole mystery, has a relevant answer to your questions. So as you partake of the anointing today, expect that sickness will disappear. Expect that that satanic habit will disappear. Somebody nagging, and when you finish nagging, you are disturbed that I said too much. By the power of the oil today, the anointing, satanic forces shall be destroyed. Now, the sin you were into before, you discover that you don't have capacity to do them anymore. In the name of Jesus Christ. Quickly, in summary, what is in the anointing oil? What is in the anointing oil? What is in the anointing oil? I just take two or three for this service and then we perfect it in the second service. Number one, the power of God that destroys the yokes, including the yoke of sin. The anointing carries the power that destroys yokes. It is called yoke because it is beyond the yoked physically. If it is physically, you will have stopped it. It becomes a yoke when it is now controlling you. When cigarettes start controlling you, when alcohol starts controlling you, it becomes yoke. I used to know a man years back. He will so drink and sleep in the gutter. So every morning, very early, they look for him at night. They can't find him because where he sleeps is rare. There are people that sleep in a beer parlor. So they go, you know where, two or three joints to pick him up. But this one is in gutter. So neighbors will call. They said they saw your father. Where? He said, along the road. As usual, he goes there. They go there. The family go to pick him out of the gutter. That is yoke. That is yoke. Somebody is coughing. He wants to die. The cough is troubling him. Yet, he said, this cigarette, if I don't take it, I'll be feeling one kind. That is yoke. He knows it's not good. He cannot recommend it for his children. But yet he's in it. Deep in it. That is yoke. Whatever you try to stop by yourself and can't stop it for years is yoke. So that is why you need the anointing. Why is it the anointing? It's because it is the power of God. The Spirit of God is inside. You can't carry the... The reason why people are not benefiting from it is they have not applied in faith. Hear this? As you partake of it today, every addiction cease. Your amen can be louder than that. Now, the addiction is about to bury you. Won't you change this time? The addiction is about to swallow you. It's time for you to take a new approach. Approach it in faith. And that satanic reproach, you will find no more. In the name of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 10 verse 27. He said, and it shall come to pass in that day, today is that day, that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. Why? He said, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So what makes life annoying? The anointing will destroy the same. In Romans chapter 8 verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, you shall die. So death is calling you, but hear this, the anointing is bringing you out of the shadow of death. In the name of Jesus Christ, the anointing. Number two, what is in the anointing oil? The healing power of God. The healing power of God is God's own recommendation for healing. God's recommendation for healing. Mark chapter 6, verse 7. And he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two and gave them power over unclean spirit. Look at the conveyor of the power. Verse 12. Verse 12. He said, and they went out and preached that men should repent. Verse 13. And they cast out many devils. And they anointed with oil. That was a conveyor. Anointed with oil. They anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Today, by the anointing, sickness will disappear. Just in case there's a part of your body, an organ that is not functioning well, as you partake of the anointing today, it will begin to function well. It's the power of God. It's the power of God that brings about healing. The God that made can recreate. In case there's a part of your organ that is not functioning well, your kidney, your liver, God is about to give you a new one. It's the power that heals. There are some things that medical science can't see. Yeah, that's why they get to some point, they say, then, do you have a pastor? When they've done their bets, and then they finish, and they want to pity you, they don't want to make you spend more. They ask you, are you a Christian? You say, yes. You say, do you have a pastor? Call your pastor. Why? They have tried to see, they can't see anymore. It is beyond the physical eyes. It has become spiritual. That was why they couldn't see the maggots. But the person partake of communion, and then the thing came out. I decree whatever is troubling you in your body today, as you partake of the anointing, it will come out speedily. In James chapter 5, verse 14, said, is any sick among you? Let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. So today, as you are anointed, I see that sickness die. He's anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Today, sickness shall die in the name of Jesus Christ. I say sickness shall bow. And then let me take one more. Breakthrough power of God is in the oil. You want to break through, you're tired of breaking down, partake of this anointing today. Breakthrough power is in the oil. In Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. So everyone anointed experienced the power of God, the Spirit of the Lord. No, it doesn't matter the kind of spirit that may operate in you. As you are anointed today, the Spirit of the Lord is coming upon you. Now, the Spirit of the Lord is not there just to be gallivanting. No, it pushes you to do something extraordinary. Look at it. He said, they anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. He said, and to an opening of the door of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Verse 4, he said, he said, and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Verse 4, and they shall build the whole wastes. They shall raise up the former desolation. Just in case the wicked one has tampered with your family, you are going back to raise the family. Like Joseph, you are going back to raise the family. And then strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the son of alien shall be your plowman, and your vine dressers, meaning you become an employer of labor. Anointing takes you from being a slave to become a master, from being an employee to become an employer. He said, for ye shall be named the priest of the Lord. Men shall call you the minister of our God. Now, why would they call you the minister of our God when you pray and it answers? Is somebody hearing me? Verse 7, he said, for your shame, ye shall have double. Don't forget where we are coming from. Verse 1, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because of anointing. So today, anointing comes upon you. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon you in the name of Jesus. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, when the Spirit of the Lord was released upon David, a small boy killed Goliath. In the next chapter, the next chapter of your life is about to open. Every Goliath that is standing between you and your breakthrough shall be crushed in the name of Jesus. That is what the anointing does. Rise to your feet. Father, by the anointing today, let every obstacle of my life be crushed. Lift up your voice and pray. Cross every obstacle by the anointing. By the anointing today. By the anointing today. Let every obstacle be crossed. Let every obstacle be crossed. Let every obstacle be crossed. By the anointing. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. There's a spirit called the Spirit of Holiness. It can be introduced by the anointing. You are going to pray, Father, baptize me afresh with the Spirit of Holiness. Lift up your voice and pray. Lord, baptize me afresh with the Spirit of Holiness. Afresh, afresh with the Spirit of Holiness. My Father, baptize me afresh with the Spirit of Holiness. I need a fresh baptism of the Spirit of Holiness. I need a fresh baptism of the Spirit of Holiness. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. A major step one must take, because at the root of sickness is sin. A major step you must take to enroll with God, to live a life above sickness and diseases, to live a life above shame, above failure, is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you are not saved, it is not safe. So you must receive him if you want to enjoy his help. Wherever you are, either in the auditorium right now or you're watching from home, you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It is not a thing to be ashamed of. It is actually the right thing to do. Wherever you are, place your right hand on your chest right now as I lead you in this prayer. You want to receive Jesus, or you want to rededicate your life to him and say after me, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Forgive me all my sins. I reject the devil today. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name, I decree that the grace of God enable you from today. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will yet pray, Father, cross.
No doubt you have been empowered for all-round victory, exploit, and unquestionable dominion over all life challenges. The end has come to all struggles in Jesus' name. Please share your testimonies with us by calling us on 031-301-6266 or 074-575-9240. You can equally send us an email to wmadaban@yahoo.com. Best of all, come hear the man of God live as you worship with us at in Durban. Our services hold on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. for English and Zulu interpreted services, and on Wednesdays at 5:30 p.m. God bless you.